3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it is Exfabula Radio time on Lake Effect Weekend on WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter with co-founder Leah Delaney. Last week we had the stories we tell. This week, sing it with me. On the road again.
That's our theme for today, on the road, and I brought the stories. I love a good road trip.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this time of year is just awesome in Wisconsin. I used to travel from Milwaukee to Minneapolis to visit family and friends, and the drive in October, like between Wisconsin Dells and Eau Claire is just...
It's phenomenal.
When you see those exits on the freeway that say scenic overlook...
Go.
Do it.
Do it. Right. Yeah. I know. And, you know. And I always feel, especially in Wisconsin, there's like that little teeny window before everything falls off the trees. Yeah. So
and
make
this
sure...
Is it.
Yeah. This is it right now, folks.
Right now, yeah.
Get in your car if you're not there right now and go.
Exactly. Agreed. On the road again.
Need back. Yeah. So, we are bringing up this theme because we, Exfabula, are going to be teaming up with Journal Sentinel's Wisconsin Trails journalist Chelsea Lewis and other community members on Thursday, October 19th at the Milwaukee County Historical Society for a special curated storytelling event about our favorite road trips and adventures. I'm sure we all have a few stories we would like to share and a lot of people who would like to go listen to those stories. So more information is going to be available on our Exfabula Facebook page.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So let's roll right into the stories.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to start out today's show with a story that was told at our Theory and Practice Story Slam way back in 2011. Let's listen to Michael Heider's On the Road story.
I'm 16 years old, living on the north side of Milwaukee, and I'm reading about these guys hitchhiking back and forth across America and in the back of pickup trucks with the western sky, and I just want to get the hell out of here. So the first opportunity I have to do that is I'm like 18 years old, and some friends are headed to New York. It wasn't the western sky, but it was getting the hell out of Milwaukee. So here's where I run into the other theory, is that people aren't exactly who you think they are, especially when you're in a car from Milwaukee to New York nonstop, and you get to New York, and you know ahead of time you're going to be staying in Greenwich Village, which, again, after reading On the Road and being 18 years old, sounds terrific, except there's no furniture in the house and no heat, and the woman who lives in this apartment is drunk. Just drunk. And I wake up in the morning on the floor, wooden floor, no blanket, with a Irish setter taking a about 6 inches away from my face. And this is the point at which I decide maybe this is not a good idea to be with these people who are all very much different than I thought they were. And so I just kind of take off. And I start walking and walking and walking. And I wind up walking from Greenwich Village to the southern edge of Central Park. It's a long ways. And I meet this woman, young woman, about my age, from the Bronx. And we had something in common right away. She was from the Bronx. I was from Milwaukee. But for both of us, it was our first day in Manhattan, which I thought was really bizarre. But at any rate, so I've got no money. I thought I had a place to stay. I have no place to stay. So I get a job for some fly-by-night remodeler on the Lower East Side, you know, grunting sheetrock. You know, six floors, you know, down in Alphabet City. And I get paid, and another guy on the job is this guy from Texas. And we take what little money, what little cash money the guy gives us, and we get a hotel room. At least that's what we thought we got. We went in this place called the Greenwich Hotel, which was on the Bowery. And the room we got You could stand and put your arms on the walls. It was, I have been in jail cells bigger. And there was like this open courtyard with the windows weren't glass. They just had like this mesh screening and this atrium, and you could sweep for a half a buck on the floor in the atrium. And they had guys walking around with axe handles to kind of keep order. So I didn't think this was a good idea. The dog in front of my face, you know, was better. So the next day I decided, well, I've had enough of New York and maybe, you know, this theory of the open western sky and the romance of hitchhiking wasn't such a good idea. But the only way I could get out of town was by hitchhiking. Try to hitchhike out of Manhattan. It's not easy. But I managed to do it. And along the way, I got picked up by someone who was going to visit her boyfriend who was in jail in Lexington, Kentucky, which at the time was the federal prison for heroin addicts. She wanted me to come along, and I said no. So she dropped me off on the Ohio Turnpike somewhere, and a cop stopped me, and he had just gotten out of the Marine Corps. This was at the beginning of Vietnam and the protests, and I had shoulder length hair, and he asked me for my draft card, which I could not produce. So I wound up in jail in Youngstown, Ohio. And then I got up, and they said, if we catch you hitchhiking again, it'll be 30 days. And I had 35 cents, so I hitchhiked out of Youngstown, Ohio, and got a ride with a truck driver who said he wanted to sweep. And then he took off with my suitcase. And then about six more rides, I wound up in the middle of Chicago. And trying to hitchhike through Chicago, it's even worse than trying to hitchhike out of Manhattan. But eventually, I wound up finding my uncle who lived down there. He gave me some money, and I came back home and discovered that, you know, that theory that I had in practice was a little, had a few more rough edges than I was really ready for. So I'm back in Milwaukee.
And that was Michael Heider's On the Road story.
Heading out on your own, not always what it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, especially going out to New York City and trying to tackle that.
Yeah, with no money and no job, no thanks.
Yeah. Gotta love it for trying, though.
That's right.
So we have another event coming up. It is called our Season 9 Kickoff, which is our first Story Slam of Season 9. Hip,
yes.
Hip, hooray! One and all are invited on October 17th to the Warehouse on Water. The theme for that night is going to be what could go wrong. Mm. So I'm sure there are some people who would like to come by, have that 5-minute real true personal story prepared, and they want to throw their name in the hat and get chosen to get up on stage to tell that story. Nothing could go wrong with that.
What could go wrong? Right.
Nothing.
about how many storytellers' names do you pick on a given story slam?
We choose 9.
9. Okay.
And at the end of the night, the audience gets to choose their favorite storyteller of the evening.
And it's all by chance.
All by chance. Dum bum bum.
Sounds good.
So everyone is welcome to that. More information is, of course, at xfabula.org. So without further ado, let's go into our next story and our last storyteller for today's show, Mr. Peter Woods, with his Perfect Storm Story Slam story from December 2016. Here is On the Road.
So the story takes place at a magical time in my life. I had just moved out of my parents' place for the first time, and the feeling of being on my own was still a feeling of adventure and excitement and freedom. You know, before my obligations had caught up to me. And with this newfound freedom, I wanted to be an explorer in the style of Jack Kerouac. You know, I wanted to go everywhere and experience everything and plumb the depths of my mind and my heart and get a crew of explorers together that were just as adventurous and as excited and as mad as I was. And I started to find these people. But the maddest of all these explorers was my friend Jack. Now, Jack was the kind of person that just had an endless amount of energy inside of him. You know, he would bounce ideas and questions off of anybody who would listen, and had a way of bringing you into a conversation and then holding you there with this really intense eye contact where he wouldn't blink, and you could stare back into his pupils and see the fire burning in his eyes. And I remember one time me and Jack were hanging out. It's like early, 8 o'clock in the morning, but the moon is still out. And he sees the moon and he turns to me and he says, "Peter, look, we are witnessing a rare event. We are witnessing a moonset." You know, people always talk to me all the time. They say, "I'm afraid to travel through space." And I tell them, "Peter, you shouldn't be afraid to travel through space because you're traveling through space right now. Peter, we're conversing on the bridge of the USS Earth." And this is the way that Jack talked all the time. And I would just eat it up. You know, I just loved it. And we started hanging out more. And then we started playing music together. And we had this band that was filled with other explorers that were just as excited as we were. And we were just all going so fast that we couldn't do things like write songs. So we would just improvise everything. And it felt so free. And this one winter, we had a show that was booked in Madison, and we were checking the forecast that morning, and it was supposed to snow, like, pretty badly. And we were trying to decide what to do. Should we stay home and play it safe, or should we go? And we were talking back and forth, and we realized that we needed to do the most adventurous thing. So we packed all of our equipment into our cars, and we started driving to Madison. And it's me and Jack. We're in this car by ourselves. Jack's driving. And we're about 10 to 15 minutes outside of town, and the snow starts to trickle down. And Jack is going on, like, all cylinders, you know. He's, like, not stopped talking, like, since the beginning of this trip. He's bouncing ideas and questions off of every single window. And at one point, he turns to me, and he says, "Peter, when you're ready, I can tell you things that will blow your mind. Are you ready, Peter?" And without a moment of hesitation, I turn to Jack and I say, "Yes, yes, I am." And he looks me up and down for a second, and then he reaches into the back of his car. He's still driving, mind you. He reaches into the back of his car, and he pulls out a stack of paper that's about an inch thick, and he plops it into my lap. And I start to thumb through it, and I very quickly realize that the stack of paper is just information that he's printed off of the internet about how Atlantis is real. And it exists at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. And I'm thumbing through this, like, totally insane information. And he has not stopped talking the entire time this is happening. I mean, ideas and questions going everywhere. And at one point, he says that he wants to start an army for his son. And he wants me to be a lieutenant in this army. And I'm just hearing this maniac go crazy. And I'm looking at this, like, information. And at one point, I look out the windshield. And the only thing I can see is sheets of white collapsing into this car. And a seed of a thought enters my head that I might not survive this road trip. Now, needless to say, I did, but it took us hours to get to Madison. And when we got there, we had to drag all of our equipment through this blizzard. And then, like, nobody came to the show because there was a blizzard. And we played, like, absolute crap that night because we didn't do things like write music or practice enough to be good at improv. And then we had to, like, drag our stuff back into our car and drive hours back to Milwaukee. And it was after that night that my relationship with Jack changed. I just couldn't keep up with the dude, you know? I realized that I didn't want to just do everything. I wanted to do something that was meaningful. And when you want to do that, sometimes you just have to focus. And when you're trying to focus, those questions and ideas can become more of a nuisance than an inspiration. And I haven't seen Jack for a few years, but I miss him. And I like knowing that he's out there and that the fire that's burning in the backs of his eyes is making the world just a little bit warmer.
And that was Peter Woods's On the Road story.
Let's review. You got two things coming up here real quick. Mm-hmm. One at the Historical Society and the first story slam of the season.
So the theme of the day is also going to be the theme for the event on October 19th at the Milwaukee County Historical Society, where we're going to be featuring some of our storytellers telling on the road stories with Chelsea Lewis, who is Journal Sentinel's Wisconsin Trails journalist that night. So please go check out information for that. And again, our first story slam of season 9 is going to be on Tuesday at the Hot Water Warehouse The theme is what could go wrong. So we're looking forward to hitting off season 9 with a bang.
And you said lots of information available at the Ex Fabula Facebook page.
Yep. There's also the Facebook page. We have our Twitter account, yeah. But exfabula.org is where you're going to get everything.
And for the Facebook, just go there and make likey-likey.
Make likey-likey.
And you'll get it.
And, and sherry-sherry.
That's right. And if you want to hear these stories again, they are posted at WUWM.com. And we are here every weekend at this time with stories on Ex Fabula Radio.
That's great.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks.